Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
I ain't going to heaven because I grab a microphone every now and then and carry a Bible around. I ain't going to heaven because on occasion I put a tie on. I'm not going to heaven because of anything I do. I'm not trying to help God help me. Matter of fact, what happened was I was dead. Ephesians chapter 2 said we're born dead. But something happened to me, man. About 18 years old, I cried out to God. The Spirit of God came in my bedroom, shook me like a wild thing, touched my life. I have never been the same.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
I've got hope today, not because Ronnie was like the dude that I can preach into heaven. Can't nobody preach anybody into heaven. You can't have somebody say some nice stuff about you and get you into heaven in the end. And I wasn't trying to give the impression that Ronnie straightened it all out and he earned the right to go see Jesus. But I'll tell you what Ronnie did. He came to a place where he realized that Jesus was his only hope. And he cried out to Jesus. And when I visited with him in his home just a few weeks ago, he said, man, I said, listen, Ronnie, you know what I got to talk to you about now? He said, I know what you came to talk to me about. He said, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you about how he showed me that Jesus is my only hope. When I stand before God, I'm not going because I'm a clean dude. I'm going because I'm a messed up, jacked up guy. But by the grace of God, he showed me how jacked up I was, and I cried out to Jesus to forgive me and to be my Savior and to be my life. So I share with all those people in that funeral home today, listen, man, really, I asked his mama before the service. I said, look, it is okay if I just be real. And she said, man, you'd have to lie, not to be real. But my wife told me before I left the house, you can't tell that story. You can't tell that. I said, why not? She said, man, well, that's not nice. But it's real. We ain't nothing but sinners. We ain't nothing but sinners. Every one of us born in trouble. The scripture says this, it's appointed to every man once to die and then the judgment. And what that means is this, really impressive statistics, one out of one croaks. One out of one gonna die. And there's an appointment. See, I've made appointments that I didn't keep. But when God makes an appointment for you, you're going to keep that appointment. There's an appointment for every one of us. At some point, I'm going to suck my last breath. And I realize this may not be, it's going to get encouraging in a minute. Y'all don't get down. But the scriptures make it clear. It's appointed to every man once to die and then the judgment. And then there's another verse that says to be absent from the bodies to be, but know the verse? To be present with the Lord. Then there's another verse that says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that lets me know this. Anybody who ever sucked air on this planet, at some point, you're going to suck your last. And when I breathe my last breath in, and when I breathe that last breath out, and my spirit leaves this body, I'm going to see Jesus. And every one of you are going to see Jesus too. Every one of you going to see Jesus. Everybody ever breathed going to see Jesus. No matter what you did with him in this life, no matter what you believed about him, no matter what you thought, the scripture says we're all going to see him. We're either going to see him on that day as Savior, and we're going to rejoice, or we're going to see him as judge, and we'll be condemned forever. But we're going to see him, and that's why when I do funeral, I'll never forget, man, I was 25 years old when I started preaching. I was a nervous wreck, man. I didn't go to seminary like all them other guys. I didn't have I did have a Bible degree from the college, but I didn't have a whole lot of training. All of a sudden, God just flung me out there into this church. And right off the bat, they called me and said, hey, will you do a funeral for this dude? The Heston back that spoke there a minute ago and told a story about the train. He's just submitted to the ministry recently, and his wife's grandma died last week, and he did her funeral. So that's your first funeral, right? We were talking about it just a minute ago. He said, man, there's something different about a funeral. That's a whole other environment to be trying to preach in. I'll never forget being 25, and they Somebody called me and they said, would you go visit this guy down here and see if you can talk to him about the Lord? And man, I went down there, and this old 70-year-old cowboy, man, he was working some horses out in the crowd. And he said, is this the preacher? He said, I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear no Jesus from you. Come here all you want, but don't be talking to me about Jesus. And then he looked me square in the eye, and he said, I'm lost, and if I die, I'm going to hell, and it's my business, not yours. Don't be talking to me about Jesus. A week later, guess what? Croaked. They called me. Will you do his funeral? Like the second funeral ever done. And it's for a dude that told me he's going straight to hell. I'm sitting there praying, okay, Lord, how do I start this? Well, he went to hell, y'all. Man, I'm a nervous wreck. I'm eating Rolaids, man. Just pray to God, what in the world am I supposed to say? But the Lord showed me what to say. That's why I shared those three verses with you a while ago. Because I stood before that crowd and I said, regardless of how he lived, what he thought, what he believed, I said, where he is right now is between him and God. But I promise you this, if God gave him 1 minute, if God in his grace gave him one more minute to stand in front of you today and say whatever he wanted to say, I promise you what he'd be talking about. It wouldn't be them horses. It wouldn't be that fishing trip with the grandson. Man, he'd be telling you, don't miss this. It's real. Don't miss this for this. All this is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which we can see, but at the things which we can't see. Because this stuff you can see, all this stuff, is temporary. Temporary. Brother David's daddy was preaching in here the other night. He's 6'9". He's a big old man. Or he said he was 6'9". At one time he was 6'9". He said, you may not can look at me now and tell it, but I used to be an athlete. And so he had a great basketball story he told us the other night, man. But when he said that, I got to think about what somebody told me a while back. He said, man, if when you married your wife, she was all up at all excited about your physique and you excited about hers, you better take some pictures. Because it ain't staying like it is, right? Man, that happens quick. How many of y'all, can I get a witness? Yeah. Hey, I see myself one way. Then I look at the mirror and it says, no, you ain't. Man, what are you talking about? Because all this changes. All this is temporary. The things you can see are temporary, but the things you can't see are eternal. And those are the things that matter most. And even, I leaned over to a dude while ago. I said, man, isn't this fun to come in here? I love to come and just share some hope, because I realize, hey, some of you guys are in here right now because God loved you enough to get you on your butt still enough, long enough to hear something you need to hear. And I ain't telling you I got what you need to hear, but he's got what you need to hear, and I got him by grace. And I need it too. And my buddy Ronnie that we buried today, he needed it too. And he found it only in Christ. Now, I read this verse just a minute ago. And the verse said, is Jesus speaking, whoever lives, if you're still alive, still sucking air, still breathing, and believes, two things, if you got life in you, and while you still got life in you, you believe, you'll never die. You'll never die. And that don't mean you're not going to take your last breath on this physical, temporal plane. But when you do, you get to move into the next realm. So real fast, let's look at this story. It's in the middle of a story about a man named Lazarus. Some of you probably remember this story. Lazarus, we've been good friends. Jesus, good friends with the family. Lazarus gets sick, and Lazarus' sisters send a message to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, Lazarus is bad sick. I'm talking bad sick. Come quick. And if you read the story, just encourage you, man, you get bored later on, read the whole thing in John 11. But you read the story, what Jesus does is not jump and run. Because he's not God. Because he is God. He's not ruled by circumstances. He knows what they don't know. He's got a plan they don't understand. But he's never panicked. Okay, he don't have to panic. So he don't panic and go running over there to save the situation. As a matter of fact, Scripture says he waits 4 days. And then 4 days later, he makes his way over there. And when he gets there, the first thing that happens is Martha said, why didn't you come sooner? Man, if you'd come sooner, he'd have been all right. Then he goes. To speak to Mary. And then Mary shows up. Matter of fact, let me read that part to you real quick. About verse 28. No, verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell down at his feet. She said the same thing Martha said. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So then Jesus saw her weeping and a whole crowd of people that were walking with her, they're weeping too. But first thing out of her mouth, she said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Hey, what's another way to say that? What's she doing? What's she saying? It's your fault. You could have fixed this. This is your fault. We're in a mess. We're hurting, and you could have fixed it. So it's your fault we're hurting, but why don't you come quicker? Why don't you come quicker? Now, Jesus knows what she don't know, and he's already told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will never die. But they ain't quite getting it. She's crying. Everybody around her is crying. And Jesus looked at her and said, where did you lay him? Where'd you lay him? They said, Lord, come and see. And at that point, shortest verse in the Bible, my little brother's favorite memory verse, Jesus wept. Okay, now out of curiosity, let me just ask you for a minute. Mary's crying. All the Jews that are hanging around her, they're crying. And then Jesus watches them. He's just giving a lot of instructions. He says, show me where he's laying. And then Jesus weeps. Why is Jesus crying? Why do you think Jesus cried? Okay, everybody else is crying. Why are they crying? They're sad. They're sad. They're mourning. They're hurting, right? You think Jesus is sad? Hey, say that again. What's your name? Gary, what'd you say? Let's just cut straight to the chase. There's about 100 reasons why people can say that Jesus was crying. Matter of fact, the first thing they did, they said, look how much he loved him. You read right there in your Bible. Oh, look at you. He must have loved him a whole lot. Look how much he loved him. He's crying. He ain't crying because he lost a friend. Okay? See, he already knows the rest. He knows what's fixing to happen. They don't have a clue what's fixing to happen. He ain't crying because Lazarus is gone. I ain't never going to get to see him again. That ain't the problem. That's not why Jesus is crying. He ain't crying because he's sad and he's sorrowful that he lost his friend. I believe his tears are because they're so ignorant. He's already told them what he's got, but they can't hear what he's saying. He said, look, I've got life, but they can't hear it. Matter of fact, verse 25 is where he had said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. When Martha said, he's dead. If you'd have been here, it'd have been all right. Jesus said, your brother's going to rise up. She said, oh, I know in the last day. You know, and he said, no, you don't understand. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then he said to her, do you believe this? Do you believe this? You know why he's weeping? Because she don't. She ain't got it. It ain't clicked with her yet. The connection hadn't happened. Man, the lights ain't coming on. And they are hopeless. And I believe that his tears were because of their hopelessness. Because they didn't have a clue who he was. And so what he does next is just to clear all that up. And after he weeps, Jesus said to him, well, verse 37, some of them said, look how he loved him. And then some others said, if he loved him so much, why didn't he save him? By the way, I don't know if you've ever had a thought in your life where you think, my whole life I got a raw deal. And sometimes that'll turn toward, I had somebody this past week tell me, man, God hates me. Why did he let me get in the mess I am? And this happened and that happened. Why has all that got to happen? You know, God, and it just anger at God. And so here they're saying, man, if you'd have been here, it'd have been okay. But then they say, oh, look how he loved him. Wait a minute. If he loved him so much, why didn't he save him? Listen, don't ever let the enemy tell you God don't know what he's doing and don't know what's best for you. Sometimes I think I know what's best for me. But there's one who sees way around the corner. He knows what's best. And so when they said, well, oh, man, he could have saved him. Why didn't he help him? Then verse 38. Then verse 38 says, then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And then the scripture says that Martha, his sister, of the one who did, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Roll that stone away. This is going to get nasty. And Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? Partly what he said, listen, will you close your mouth for just a minute and hear something for just a second? See, the problem was he got a word to say, but she can't hear it because she's already trying to figure it out on the other side. She thinks she done got it figured out. See, he's got a plan way bigger than what she can dream. And he said, roll away the stone. And they said, oh, no, he's been dead 4 days. He'll stink by now. And he said, didn't I tell you? By the way, that's a huge phrase. Did I not tell you? Your mom ever said that to you? Man, my mama did. Or my daddy did. Didn't I tell you, son, if you just listen to me, and if I'd have listened to my daddy, man, if I'd listened to my father-in-law was a genius, man. He told me so much stuff when I first got married. He said, if you'll just do this, here's how it'll turn out. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Man, I'm looking back thinking, I wish I'd have put that $10 a week back. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we listen? But Jesus looks and says, hey, man, didn't I tell you if you would just believe, you'd see the glory of God? And then is when it's on, because he does what only he can do. Verse 41 says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said this. He's praying. He's looking up to the Father. Everybody's standing around watching him. And Jesus, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You already heard me. I thank you that you've already heard me. And I know that you always do hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they might believe that you sent me. So here's what he's saying. He just told, can't y'all believe? Don't you understand? He's weeping. He's about to do this great thing. They don't have a clue who's standing in front of them. They don't have a clue what God can do, that he can bring life out of death. And then when it's time to get down to it, he said, just roll away the stone. Father, thank you that you've heard me already. I'm only saying these words. I mean, saying these for me. I already know you always hear me, but they need to know who you are. They need to know who you are. And then after he says that, he turns. They had rolled away the stone. Verse 43 says, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Now, I want you to sanctify the imagination with me just for a minute. We're going to wrap this thing up. But what was Lazarus doing? You know who Lazarus was, right? He's the brother that's dead in the grave. What do you think he was doing inside that tomb? Absolutely nothing. If he's doing it because he's not asleep, he's not in a sugar coma, he's not just having a bad day, he's been dead. It makes it very clear several times. He's been dead 4 days. He ain't doing nothing. If he's doing anything, he's starting a decaying process. That's why they worried about him stinking. He's dead. But here's the reality. It ain't him in that tomb anyway. That's just a shell that he was in. You know, I heard a guy say earlier today, he said, man, what if, can you imagine what it would have been like, Jesus having to think about Lazarus? He said, man, I'm not going to have to make some guy come back from heaven just to prove to you guys who I am. Can you imagine what if it was, I think about my buddy Ronnie when I called him on the phone the other day and the sucker wouldn't answer. Hey, here's Lazarus. I mean, he's in glory because he's absent from the body. And he done seen things that we can't imagine seeing. And all of a sudden, can you imagine being there and all of a sudden hearing Jesus say, hey, you're going to have to come back for a little while. What? Are you kidding me? I don't know exactly how it all went down, but here's what I do know. Lazarus' only hope for life was in Jesus. Okay, see, because when he was in that tomb, he was dead. He couldn't do a single thing to affect his own deliverance. Not one single thing. He couldn't do some works. He couldn't pray. He couldn't do, there's not a thing he could do. The only hope he had to have life was a miracle from Jesus himself. See, he couldn't even help Jesus call him. But Jesus called him. And he's laying there, D-E-A-D, dead. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And that calling was all the power he needed for life to come back to him. And he had nothing to do with it. I'm going to tell you something here today. Man, that's why I shared this at that funeral this way today. Man, the reason I believe what I believe about my friend is because I understand that he didn't have the power to save himself, but God called him out here just a little while back. I didn't have the power to save my. I ain't going to heaven because I grab a microphone every now and then and carry a Bible around. I ain't going to heaven because on occasion I put a tie on. I'm not going to heaven because of anything I do. I'm not trying to help God help me. Matter of fact, what happened was I was dead. Ephesians chapter 2 said we're born dead. But something happened to me, man. About 18 years old, I cried out to God. The Spirit of God came in my bedroom, shook me like a wild thing, touched my life. I have never been the same. I can't get over it. because life came into me. I was dead up until the point that life came into me. And every one of us is born dead until that moment when the Lord calls you. And I ain't talking about the preacher or the church or whatever you think you're doing to get it all right. No, it's a matter of acknowledging, I can't do it, but he can. And you hear him call you and you respond. All Lazarus had to do was say, what was that? Yes, sir, here I come. And get up out of that grave. He didn't do it on his own strength or power. He did it on the life that Jesus provided. Don't worry that you got to get it all right to even get started. You can't get it right, but he can't get it wrong. And when he gets inside of you, he's got it going on. He can handle it. You don't have to worry about recidivism when he gets inside you, because see, he's an overcomer. And he never quits and he never loses. So when I have Christ, I got everything I need. If I don't have Christ, I ain't got nothing. And so now Lazarus got something he didn't have before. The scripture makes it very clear. Jesus cried out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 says, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. He comes up out of that grave, and he's wrapped up in grave clothes. If you don't know what that means, they would wrap him. He looked like a mummy. They'd taken those linen strips. They had treated him. They had wrapped him up in them. That's how they would. That's the closest thing they could do to embalming people. They wrapped him up in those linen strips. He was already wrapped up like a mummy, dead in that tomb. And Jesus called out to him and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he woke up like, man, what is going on? Next thing you know, but he manages to get up. He manages to come stepping out that tomb. And can you imagine what a freaky sight that was? Oh, yeah. This ain't a normal day. Everybody around here knows it ain't a normal day. Because that dude was dead. We know he was dead. We worry about him stinking. And now here he come out here like this right here. He's all wrapped up in all these clothes. And you know what? He don't, except for standing up and actually moving, he probably ain't looking real alive. He looks like a dead man standing up because he's still wrapped up in grave clothes. But he's alive. And now he's come out. And that was dead has now had life because of the miracle of God speaking words to him and him responding to those words. Now he's up and he's standing there, but he still looks half dead. And Jesus says this. Matter of fact, it said, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Man, who's the them Jesus said that to? Who do you think he said that to? Okay. What'd you say? His sisters. Why'd you say his sisters? Because that's who was there. Okay, we know his sisters were there. So they heard him say, they're part of the them, loose him and let him go. Remember just a few minutes ago that the passage said, that Mary was crying, and all the Jews that came with Mary, they're crying too. Because I don't know if y'all notice this, but sometimes there's people that just gather around funerals just to do a lot of weeping and wailing and crying. And man, it's just what they do. I can tell who's an unbeliever most of the time when I do a funeral service. The scripture says, we sorrow not as those who have no hope. I'm telling you, man, we rejoice today. We laugh today at that service. Man, But sometimes I'll see a person, they can't laugh, they can't rejoice because they got no hope. They don't know that there's life outside of this, that there's life beyond this. All they thought they had was this right here, and for some of them, that's all they got because they don't yet have the hope of life in Christ. And so there's the sisters there, but there's a gang of Jews. They're all crying too, and now there's some of them. It's everybody else that was already alive that he's speaking to when he said, loose them and let them go. And here's the significance of that. Even though Jesus has spoken to him and called him to come out, Jesus also preordained for there to be people around him he intended to use to help him get out of the grave clothes. Now, I can't remember who I was asking back here a while ago about the colors of the suit. I don't know why I had it in my head that the federal guys were the green, but the federal's the tan, right? Regardless of what color. You know, I thought about this one day. I've never gone to the mall and seen some homie strutting down the mall in his green BCCC outfit. You know what I'm saying? Because when you get out of here, matter of fact, I met a dude on the outside a while ago. I said, man, how's it going? He said, great, I'm out. Just got out. He didn't have no outfit on. His didn't have a BCCC stamp on the back. Why? Because they gave him his civvies when he got done. He got ready to get on out here. They gave him his civvies. He put his regular clothes on. I don't know if you guys, when you get ready to get on up out of here, as I came by a while ago, there's one of the federal inmates caught me outside the door. He said, Brother Todd. He said, man, I'm out of here in 8 days. Well, that ain't eight, but whatever. He said, I'm out of here in 8 days. I said, how long have you been here? He said, 181 days. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I don't think when it comes time for him to check out, he's going to say, hey, you know, I kind of like this outfit. Can I keep this? Can I keep this? I don't think he's going to be like bragging and put it on and strut through the mall or strut through downtown. Why? Are y'all, you think you're going to be wanting to show off that suit when you get out of here? No, you had enough of that in here. But sometimes we still look dead. Hey, look, when you first come to Christ, you're not going to have all the answers. You don't know it. You need somebody else. You need somebody else. You need each other. And in here, I don't care. It's not just when you first come to Christ. Man, I'm watching these guys play and pray up here a while ago. I love these guys. I need these guys. God has done some things between us through the years. And he's still doing some things. I need him. And in this story, Jesus looks at these people and says, hey, they may look dead, but now it's your job to help them get out of them grave clothes. Help them get out of the grave clothes. Sometimes we're not helping each other get out of the grave clothes. Sometimes we're trying to put them back on. Sometimes we're trying to point out how nasty your outfit is or your life is. Help loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. And then know this. As surely as you had them on, but you got them off by the grace of God because of the miracle of Jesus, there is an enemy out there. How many of y'all know there's an enemy out there? And he loves us to have grave clothes on. He loves us to be covered up. He loves us to be wrapped up in our own sinfulness. He loves us to fall right back in the same. He loves recidivism because he's a recidivist. Okay, he's the one who creates that kind of mentality. And he's good at it. And here's what he wants to do. Man, he's looking for somebody who heard the voice of God cry out to him and who stood up and who got loosed and let go. And all that junk fell off. And what he wants to do is sneak up behind you when you ain't paying attention. And he's not going to say, hold still, let me wrap you up, mummify you again. No, what he wants to do is take one little strip. If he can just take one strip and while you ain't looking and just lay something over one shoulder real gentle and you don't realize that it's there, you kind of get used to it being there. Okay, and that's a one little area of compromise. Man, it might be that one drink.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.